welcome everybody to Practical Living. We have great tips for you that you don't want to miss. Have your paper and pen ready so that you can write down whatever it is that you don't want to forget. We have practical matters, practical health, and much more. But before we go any further, let's ponder our practical thoughts.
Thank you, Andriette. Hey guys, we're continuing our talk on this friend of mine, Jesus. Remember, I've been telling you why you'd want to have him as a friend, okay? Just to help you recap, I told you that I asked you if you know anyone who can count all the stars. And we established that no one can do that because there are too many. But the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus, apart from knowing the number of stars, has actually named each and every one of them. That is amazing. Another reason why you should seriously consider having Jesus as one of your friends is that he is all powerful. Like, he created everything that you see. I've already mentioned this, but I just want to emphasize the invisible, the forces out there, the molecules, the atoms, and everything that holds them together, he created. I'll give you a little more on this. But right now, let's switch over to Manja in Practical Matters. Welcome to Practical Matters. For those of you who have just joined us, this is where we discuss issues that have to do with you and the people around you. With me today is
Mandla Lupondwana.
Mandla is not a strange voice to those of you who've been following our programs. He has a wealth of information. We've been talking about the things you need to consider before you get married, and the series is Before You Say I Do. So last time, we're looking at making sure that you both understand how involved you want to be in the religion that you're involved in. Now, we need to look at something that is very, very crucial. Manja, what are we looking at today?
Communication.
Oh, yes.
It's a cause or a source of many marital problems. Communication. I'll break it down. It's about how you understand one another, how you relate one another, how you talk to one another, how you deal with one another. That's basically what we're talking about. Why is this important? It's important because many times when people fight, it's not about something. It's about how something was said and how it was done.
So, okay, how it was said part, I can understand that really does fall under communication. But how it was done?
Let me make an example.
You communicate through actions.
Yes.
Hmm.
Let me make an example with a sound that I discovered may mean different things to different person, different people, depending on their background. The sound.
Okay.
To us, as Xhosas, it's very rude. The sound is dismissing you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But to other people, it's just a punctuation. It's like saying, that's what it is to them. Now, I always thought that all over the world is understood to be rude.
I thought so too. Wow, okay.
I thought it was. But then as you meet people from different places, you realize, no, it's not always that. It's not always. Some would call it a hissing sound. I was just hissing. Others was just frustrated. It's just an expression of frustration. To us, it's rude. Rude. So you need to sit down and talk. Talk about things that you consider rude and unacceptable. Talk about those things. Whether it's words, language, whether it's gestures. Sometimes when someone just waves their hand and like they are throwing the back of their hand to you, we feel that is very rude. Sometimes we feel when someone is calling you and they do so with a finger, one finger, you know, gesturing towards you. Now, we feel that is rude, but others feel it's a way of saying to you, hey, I'm calling you.
Okay.
To us, to point at someone when you're talking to them, to point at them, especially in the face, that's very rude and very aggressive. We do not accept that. Do you understand? Talk about those things. Some people feel that when you are saying something that they do not find acceptable and they feel they are just about to explode, they just turn around and walk away. As you are talking, they just turn around and walk away. Talk about those things. I consider that terribly rude, but somebody else may feel, I do not want to be rude. I don't want to end up saying something I'll regret. So I'll just turn around and walk away.
Okay.
Do you understand? Uh-huh. Do you see the logic? Now, because we have different concepts of what's appropriate and what is inappropriate when we're talking, it's good that you sit down and you say, what do you consider rude? To you, what is? And when you talk about it, talk about these things that are obvious to you. Because you may find one or two things that are not so obvious to the other person.
Well, speaking of things that are obvious, maybe not so obvious, I've noticed that there's some people, when you talk to them, they can't look you in the eye.
Yes.
Does that have anything to do with what you're talking about?
That is true. For example, when I was growing up, we were told never to look at an older person in the eye. It's rude. Because to us, it's called, that's what staring is. You don't stare at an older person. So when you look someone in the eye, it's like you're challenging them. You understand? So if you're showing respect, you don't look at the person in the eye. Go to the Western culture. If you don't look the person in the eye, it means you're lying. You're being deceptive.
Exactly. Yeah.
So talk about those things. Because the other one would be saying, I asked my husband where he was yesterday and he would not look me in the eye. And I just knew he was lying. And the man was just not being hostile. He was just explaining, I was there with Dumi. We were just playing chess. And then the man, he has no sense of being hostile. That's why he's not looking at her in the eye. And she's wondering, why is he not looking me in the eye? He's hiding something. Talk about the things that you think are obvious. They may not be obvious. So we need to talk about, these are the things that come into play when we talk communication. Talk about things that you find acceptable, things that you do not find acceptable. Just talk about those things.
Now, okay. So on the issue of communication and things that we do that would find acceptable and unacceptable, one thing that I've just realized is that a lot of what we do has a lot to do with our culture, our upbringing.
Yes.
And a lot of these things, I don't think people even notice them. So how would you talk about something you consider rude or unacceptable, and yet you don't even notice it yourself? You just do it because it's part of who you are.
Well, I found one of the things that work is to talk about differences between your culture and another culture. For example, you may say, how is your idea of rude and polite and acceptable and unacceptable different from what you see on TV?
So just bring it up in conversation.
Bring it up in conversation. How is it different from what you see on TV? And when you do it that way, someone will be able to say, well, first of all, obviously, I can't call an older person by name. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Here you find this young kid calling an older person Joe. You could never have a situation where some young 8-year-old calls some 32-year-old Joe. There's no such.
And speaking of which, I remember when I was young, I didn't know my dad's name until probably like in fifth grade.
True. People would ask you, who's your father? He's dad.
His dad, yeah. Is that his name? Yeah, his dad.
Yeah, that's because we don't do that. So it's not obvious all over the place. So that's how you start the conversation. How is it different from television? How is it different from what you see, what you consider to be Western or Eastern or whatever? Because as you discuss, as you go through the obvious things of acceptable and unacceptable, you are able to see things that are different from you, just for you to know, so that you can know that if I do this, the person will consider it rude. If I do that, they will not consider it to be rude.
So okay.
Those are the things you talk about. This is one of the things you talk about when you come to communication. Right. Things that are acceptable and things that are not acceptable. Yes.
Okay. So guys, you heard it. As you are talking about getting married, just, bring these things up casually. You're watching TV, just kind of think, hey, that was weird, and then kind of discuss it, and you find that that'll make you more aware of what you consider normal and acceptable. Thanks for listening, guys. Until next time, I'm Dumisani.
And I'm Mandla.
Thank you.
You're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, AWR, Adventist World Radio.
A lot of people have told me that they don't believe in the power of Jesus to say, how could he have made all this stuff? They barely understand it themselves. And then I'm like, well, then isn't that why you should kind of have Jesus as a friend? If you don't understand it, that doesn't mean he doesn't understand it. You see, guys, we need to realize that Jesus is not like us. Okay? Isaiah There's an interesting verse there, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. Listen to what it says. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's clear. He is way above us. We'll get back to this right after this. Let's listen now to Consider This.
Welcome to Consider This, a youth program where we consider hot topics, something that will really boggle your mind, and today's topic will really get you excited. And I think all of us think about this all the time, sexuality. We're enamored with it in the secular world that we're living in. Everywhere we turn, there is something about sexuality. I mean, the movies, the music, yeah, everything is just constantly bombarding us with sex. And I think we as young people should think about these things. And I mean, sometimes we're kind of shy to talk about it. We get a bit uneasy, especially when there's older people involved. But now we're young people here and we're going to talk about it. What are the problems that they are? Are we facing anything? What is sexual purity?
Right.
What do you guys think?
First, before, on a very broad spectrum, I think in the world today, sex sells.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
anywhere out there, it's just advertising using sex. If you see a car, they're selling a car, you'll see a woman who's like in a bikini or something, you know?
It has nothing to do
nothing
with the product.
Nothing. Like, but so long as it has the woman, it sells. If you see a cigarettes company, they're advertising, they use sex.
Yes.
Sex sells. They use it as a marketing gimmick. So it impacts on us in our subconsciously.
Yeah. Yes.
You know? So you tend to think about it.
It's there all the time.
It's there.
But now we as Christians, we're living in this world that is just, I mean, sex is everywhere. How can we live sexual pure lives in this world that's sex saturated?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a tough question.
It's a tough question.
And do you know what? What's actually scary is some people don't really know what is sexual purity? Because, yeah, in one of the schools that I was at, I mean, high school kids, Christian school, you ask them and you think like, it's an obvious thing of who of them is going to stay pure until they get married. And they're like, but why, ma'am?
Yeah.
Like, why do you want to do that?
Yeah.
I'm like, huh? This is a Christian school.
Yeah.
Like, it's biblical. Yeah. You stay pure until you get married. And it's as if something went wrong and people think it's okay to have sex before marriage. Or they think, that it's just fine. That's the way it is.
But before we get to that, is there something wrong with sex? Just sex. I'm not talking about when or what. I'm just saying sex as that. Is there something wrong with it?
Sex is given to us. Isn't it a gift from God?
Okay, so it's a good thing. It's a gift given by God.
It's a good thing. But anything that's good, if you have chocolate and you eat chocolate too many times, you'll get pimples. Okay, I don't know.
Amongst other things.
It's anything that's too much or abused becomes wrong, right?
Yeah.
I read a book the other day and it had an intriguing title. It was Sex is Not the Problem, Lust Is.
Mm. Right.
And I think that's exactly what the world is selling to us. Not sex, but lust. You know, because lust, you always want something more. It's never satisfied. It's like Ecclesiastes, the preacher says, vanity is vanity, all is vanity. Everything is vanity because all that you can see so much, but yet your eyes are never filled.
Right.
You can hear everything, but yet it is not filled. And that's with sex or with lust in the world.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to a young girl about 2 years ago. She was very young. She was like maybe 13, 14.
Yeah.
And she had already gone through this whole sexual episode. And she just told me that, you know, sex is overrated. It's not what everyone expects it to be, you know. But by that time, she had like been everywhere and gone everywhere with everyone, you know, to the point where it lost its what?
Beauty.
Charm. Yeah, it's beauty. It's supposed to be a beautiful thing. But if it's worn out, you know, what is she going to give her husband in 10 years after she's really experienced, you know, life?
Yeah.
She's wasted the whole, I don't know how to say, you know?
And I don't think, like, okay, so we're saying sexual purity is what God expects of us, being pure until we get married. But I think, like you said, you know a girl, and And we're all like, yo, that's crazy, like 14 years old and you already had sex. But I don't think we should condemn people that has, like, just like Jesus went to that woman at the well and he had a conversation with her. He was like, why are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Like she knew who she was. She was a Samaritan. She was different culture. She was a woman that didn't speak to women at that time. But she was also a sinner. And God spoke to her.
Yeah.
And he wanted to give her something more. That thing that really makes you complete. Not sex. And that's important. I don't think we should highlight and say, like, oh, yeah, it's bad. And people shouldn't do that. But we should actually give them something else.
Yeah.
A definitely. Hope.
But sex, like you said, this girl has had sex and she's went through all the stuff that she could have gone through. But yet sex is a lot deeper than that.
Yes.
What is sex about? It's not just physical.
No.
It's emotional. You know, you're connecting with somebody. And I think, like you said, what will she give her husband one day? I think that's what we really want to think about. When you think about sexual purity, it's not just being physically pure, but maybe what you think about as well.
Right.
You know, because your thoughts and your emotions, you might give a bit more emotionally.
Right.
Or you might think lustful thoughts.
Right.
I mean, how do you curb those things?
So is it a physical thing or is it about my mind? Because I know a lot of youth these days, they're corrupt. Upstairs is just like a mess.
Yeah.
They just like need proper like cleaning up here because it's like a shop that's unattended to, you know.
Yeah.
Up here, they've watched all this pornography and they've like participated upstairs mentally. So their mind is a mess more than the physical.
Yes.
So yes, it may be a physical act, but there's more to it.
Exactly. That's a point what I wanted to bring out is that we look at people that have had sex and be like, oh, they did it. But what about that guy that's never did it, but he's thinking about doing
exactly.
it? Or he's contemplating, man, what if I could have done this with this girl?
Yeah.
Is that sexual purity as well? To have the clean thoughts?
Right.
And, you know, it's a bit broader,
the topic.
Sex is
supposed to be emotional.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be emotional.
Hey?
Yeah.
Then how do you actually stay pure? Even if it's just your thoughts? Mm.
Wow.
That's a difficult question.
Can you just stop yourself from thinking,
aren't we admonished in the Bible that when temptation comes, we should flee to God?
Right.
All right, meaning?
Maybe say a prayer.
Okay.
That's right. It normally helps. Yeah. I testify. It does. If you're in a situation, you know, when you sit, there was once I was sitting in the sitting room with my mom and we put on the television and, suddenly something came up. And the both of us were so confused, you know, and we just turned it off and prayed, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
Because then he takes control of the situation, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of sitting with my mom, you know.
It's
kind of awkward.
And it's not like, okay, mom, let's just leave it on and then we pray.
Yeah.
Like, you know where the button is.
You need to turn it off.
Yes. Flee, go.
You should go away from it.
Yeah, and then avoid it.
Yes.
If you know that specific place or that specific, if I'm going to this nightclub and I'm seeing people doing funny things, avoid it. You don't have to go there. Don't take yourself to a place where you know that the situation is going to be a mess.
Yes, definitely.
Have you heard something on our broadcast that you need further clarification on? Is there an issue you would like to be addressed? Do you want to greet your brothers and sisters that also listen to us? Write to us. Our mailing address is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can also email us using awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org.
So, we read from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. I'll read verse 9 again. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I think that's clear. It's straightforward, guys. God is saying that his thoughts are way, way beyond ours. Now, just follow this simple, simple argument. God created all that is. What we see and the invisible, including
all kingdoms, all powers that rule over us. God created all that. And then, in the same Bible, it records that his thoughts are way above our thoughts. So I think it's pretty clear that if we expect to understand how God is able to keep all the atoms together, if we try to understand what forces he used to keep the stars in their orbits, we can, you know, study that as much as we want, but to know the exact nitty-gritties, we can't, because God's thoughts are way above our thoughts. In the Bible, in Genesis, he clearly records how God created everything in 7 days. And a lot of people have trouble with that. But then if you realize how much above God is over all of us, it kind of makes sense. His time is not our time. The way God thinks is not. See, God isn't bounded by what bounds us. You know, he's not bounded by time, by physical space. That's why he is God. But what is true is that he does what is best for us. A lot of people have a problem with that as well, because they want things to happen in their time. But God does things in his time. He's not like us. He's not limited like we are. This is a type of friend he is. He does things in his time. Before I leave you guys, there's a song that I want you to listen to. It kind of drives home what I'm trying to say, that God does things in his time, not in your time, not in my time. Why don't you give him a chance and see how he will work things out for your good? But my friend, it has to be in his time. I hope you're blessed by this.
In your time.
Have you heard something on our broadcast that you need further clarification on? Is there an issue you would like to be addressed? Do you want to greet your brothers and sisters that also listen to us? Write to us. Our mailing address is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129 South Africa. You can also email us using awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. Remember, we give you practical tips and practical advice that will help to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless.